afternoon. Jean, thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you all for spending Tuesday afternoon with us. As Jean mentioned, I'm going to be talking about assistive technology needs and difficulties in activity daily living among children with developmental disabilities in the U.S., and I'm using a national data set that's funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration called the National Survey for Children with Special Healthcare Needs. I wear two hats. I am currently a doctoral student in epidemiology, biostatistics at University of Maryland, and then my full-time hat is the senior advisor at Health Resources and Services Administration. I have no relationship to disclose. So Chandra already introduced the Tech Act to you all, so I wanted to just highlight the two other iterations of that came from the Tech Act and sort of give you all sort of a little history of the Assistive Technology Act, because this is a federal legislation that was really important in my professional career as well. So having Chandra introduce the Tech Act in 1988, in 1998, the Tech Act was renamed Assistive Technology Act of 1998. And in that, in the 1998 legislation, they really were focusing on conducting capacity building activities on funding and really looking at can we enhance the access and provide assistive technology devices and services for those families that need that across the state. And then there's also this introduction of the alternative financing program where using a low interest rate loan program to help families that may not qualify for other public benefits or insurance coverages to purchase assistive technology. And then it was reauthorized not without controversy in 2004. And, you know, I don't know if anybody recalls the fact that the budget for the Assistive Technology Act was at one point zeroed out, and much thanks to the Senate at that time for restoring the funding to the Assistive Technology Act. And we were delighted that in 2004 it was reauthorized, and it had now these focuses. It had core programs that focused on state financing systems, device reutilization programs, device loan programs, and device demonstration programs. And then, you know, with a primary goal, let's improve access, improve the acquisition, address the acquisition barriers for assistive technology. So I started my career as a rehab engineer right around 1999, and so rehab engineer, I don't know if folks are familiar with this discipline, it's sort of an obscure, so I can call myself one of two rehab engineers in West Virginia, and when I moved to Massachusetts, I was still one of two, because there was only another gentleman who was a rehab engineer. And having West Virginia had written the assistive technology plan responding to the funding that was available in 1998, and so we set about to do a lot of demonstration projects across the state in a very, very rural environment. How do you build capacity? And it was the start of my career as a rehab engineer, and I hit the road running with our director of our Assistive Technology Act program. And then in 2004, when I had transitioned to Massachusetts, I had the unique opportunity of writing the state plan for Massachusetts and assistive technology and really bring these plans to implementation through the Mass Rehab Commission. So so just wanted to share that little history and sort of how far we've come with this legislation. Another piece of the reason why I wanted to introduce the legislation is I use the definitions that's encapsulated in the legislation to define and use the variables in my analysis. So just, I'm sure some of you are very, very familiar with this, but I just want to capture that assistive technology definition in the AT Act. And it's defined as a device or a piece of equipment, including durable medical equipment or product systems such as communication or mobility aids and devices that can enhance the functional ability of individuals with disabilities. It can be anything from low-tech, pencil grip, handheld magnifiers, glasses, adaptive utensils, non-skin materials, to high-tech of augmented communication devices, alternative computer access software, assistive learning devices, environmental control system, etc. So it's a really pretty large spectrum of those that fit the assistive technology definition. And the kids that I'm looking at, they're school-age kids, and so what types of legislation guarantees their rights and access to assistive technology? And as it comes from the IDEA, that says that the school districts must consider the assistive technology for any child in special education if the device can increase, maintain, and improve functional capacity of that child. Okay. So So really, given the time frame of the different legislations and conducting your independent or starting to develop a research project at University of Maryland, I was thinking, well, I really would like to know what sort of where are we with assistive technology utilization, and specifically, you know, what proportion of children with developmental disabilities whose parents are reporting their assistive technology needs are met? Are there any health disparities out there that we need to be concerned about? And what is the association between assistive technology needs and difficulties with activities or daily living from a parental perspective? So the data set I alluded to earlier is a data set that's funded by the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, administered by the National Center on Health Statistics at Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This is the third iteration. This survey initially started in 2001, and the second survey was in 2005-2006. So the most recent survey for National Survey for Children's Special Health Care Needs was conducted in 2009-2010. The data collection period took place July 2009 to March 2011. It is a cross-sectional telephone survey with a complex sample design, stratified by states and sample type and clustering of children within households. The sample size within the data set is just over 40,000 children with special health care needs, and the respondents were parents or guardian with knowledge of health and health care of that child in the household. And I already mentioned the funding and administration pieces. So, again, using the legislation, the definitions in the legislation, I wanted to provide those as a foundation for the operational definitions that I use in my analyses. So in terms of assistive technology, embedded within the survey are questions around access to durable medical equipment, hearing aids or hearing care, vision care or glasses, communication aids or devices, and mobility aids and devices. In terms of children with developmental disability, within the National Survey of Children's Special Health Care Needs, there are a list of 20 different conditions that fall under the developmental disability definition within the Developmental Disabilities Act. And so from those positive parental responses to those conditions, I then where I isolated the sample for an analysis in the study. And then activities of daily living is defined in the survey as children with special health care needs who have a little or a lot of difficulties with one or more activities or participation. So the gender distribution of the folks, the children that are in our sample, so I don't think it's a surprise there are more boys than girls, 67.7% boys and 32.3% girls. In terms of the age of the distribution, a lot of the condition questions within the national survey, they only ask of the parent after they are age 3 and above. So that's why the age distribution starts from 3 years old. So 3 to 5 years is 12%, 6 to 11 years old is 43%, and then 45% of the kids are between 12 and 17. In terms of race ethnicity, it is a predominantly non-Hispanic white population within the sample. And then there's an other category that encapsulate the Asian Americans, the Native American or American Indian populations in that other category. With respect to federal poverty level, we see a pretty even distribution across below 100% federal poverty level all the way to above 400% federal poverty level. Going into the results, so I will be really interested in having a discussion with you all after I share the results with you because there are things that I found very, very interesting throughout this study, is that when asked parents, was the assistive technology needs met? 97.7% of the parents said yes. And 2.3%. And when I looked at this and I thought, maybe it's because I have a biased sample because if only those that seek me out as a rehab engineer are the ones that are encountering problems. And so that was one consideration of that. But, you know, among those parents that responded, that their child had a developmental disability, 93.6% of them reported that their child had some difficulties in this activities of daily living. Looking across racial ethnic group because we wanted to ascertain sort of are there health disparities across a race and ethnicity, you'll see. Again, we see parents are providing really positive responses to whether or not their AT needs are met across the group, which was, again, really surprising for me. And then in terms of social economic status, looking at federal poverty level, we still continue to see this very positive, my child, assistive technology needs were met. So those were very surprising, but very positive. If this were an accurate reflection of what's going on in the field, and which is what I would love to have a conversation with all of you about, I would just be incredibly thrilled that this is happening. So, and then I think the sort of when I put it into a multivariate logistic regression model, adjusting for gender, age, race, ethnicity, family structure, federal poverty level, and health insurance, a child with developmental disabilities has 21.5 times the odds of having some difficulties in activity daily if their assistive technology needs are unmet. And so it sort of is a testament to how important assistive technology is in the lives of those children. So strength and limitations of the study. Strength is that this is a parental report of access and utilization of assistive technology. So this is, parents telling us exactly their perception of the services that, and equipment access that they're getting in the community. It is a national survey, so the generalizability has that national representative's perspective, and it was a large sample size. The limitation is with any cross-sectional studies, you can't infer causation, and then there's also a potential for selection bias in the respondent participation into telephone survey. So if the findings were accurate, the findings present incredibly positive news that the majority of children with developmental disabilities in the U.S. have their assistive technology needs met. This potentially suggests that the provisions and the continued implementations of federal legislation such as the Assistive Technology Act and IDEA have made assistive devices and services more available, more accessible to individuals with disabilities and their families. However, I think given that, all of you touch families, children with developmental disabilities in your work and in various aspects, I would want to pose these questions to you. Do the findings resonate with the anecdotal experiences on the ground? And if they are incongruences, what are contributing factors and what strategies can be used to improve the data on assistive technology? Thank you very much.